Blog Talk Radio.
I was walking downtown one day, and I saw a man who appeared to be just an old wino sitting on the street telling the people about Jesus as they passed by. And because he was all raggedy and dirty, people would just laugh and make fun of the old man and walk on by. And he said, because of the way I am, no money, no fancy clothes, fine homes and cars, a lot of people consider me as nothing and say I don't know what I'm talking about. But there's one thing that he said that really touched my heart and stayed on my mind. When that old man looked up and said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. He said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody
about somebody who can save anybody. Yes, praise God. I love that song. I love that song because it allows me to know that God can change anyone. Truly, he changed me. And every day I notice a little bit more of a change. It may not be leaps and bounds like I would like it to be, but it's a change nevertheless. And that change of me being transformed and my mind being renewed to try to be as close to the mind and heart of Christ is a blessing beyond blessings. Hallelujah. Good evening. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm your the spirit of a soldier, where we come to share the knowledge and wisdom of God's word. Again, let us always remember from Proverbs 4:20-22, my son, attend to my words, incline thy ears unto thy saying. Let them not depart from thy eyes, but keep them in the midst of thy heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. It is the medicine we need. I know they're giving out vaccinations to take care of the virus and what have you, but God is truly the vaccination we need. Because when God begins to heal, those 39 stripes that Jesus shed on the blood, shed that blood on the cross for us, is the healing power that can take every atom, every molecule, every cell, every tissue, every organ, and every system and cleanse it and make it whole. We just have to believe. He told us, have faith in God, that he said, if we say unto the mountains, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and do not doubt in our heart, but believe those things which we say it shall come to pass. We must walk in this type of faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, let us go into prayer. Heavenly Father, we just glorify and magnify your name for your love, your mercy, and your grace, and your forgiveness of our sins, past, present, and future. Because you are the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, we can have hope, Father God, that when Jesus took upon his body, Father God, our sins, Father God, and move us into righteousness, Father God, we know that we can be healed spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, in every area of our life, we would be cleansed. So I thank you, Lord. And I pray right now, Father God, for those who are under the sound of my voice, Father God, as you utilize this vessel, as the question comes of who shall I send, I could cry out, send me. Use this vessel, Father God. I'm praying that the people under the voice, Father God, who have not accepted you as their personal Lord and Savior, Father God, we'll go through the ABCs of a heard a young lady say, which I thought was beautiful, A for acceptance, B for believing, and C for confessing with their mouth that they receive you as their personal Lord and Savior. And Father God, I just pray when they receive you, simultaneously, Father God, they will be endowed with the Holy Spirit and given the gifts of tongues so they can have a direct line of communication to you, Father God, outside out of their native tongue. I thank you, Father God. As again, I pray, Father God, anyone that needs healing in any area of their life, and because you know the end to the beginning to the end, because you're the Alpha and Omega, God, I thank you right now. Every detail of a person's life will be changed, Father God, spiritually, physically, emotionally, psychologically, financially, relational, and social, Father God, will be changed in a way, Father God, that all they can do is stand up and celebrate you and praise you and praise you and praise you. Father, I thank you because you've been so wonderful, so good to us, so merciful to us, so patient with us. Oh, but your word tells us that love starts off with patience. I thank you, Father God, and it always protects. It always creates hope. It always builds trust, and it always preserves. Your love never fails. Let everyone, Father God, experience your love. And I know if they really do experience you, Father God, oh, it'll be a life-changing experience they'll never forget. I thank you, Father, this prayer will not fall into the path and the birds will take it away, nor will it fall into the rocks and not take root, and nor will it fall into the thorns and the cares of life will choke it out. But, oh, God, I believe this prayer, Father, will go forward, and it will produce the 40, 60, 80, 100-fold return because it falls into the good soil of you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. Well, it was never meant today for me to be before you, at least in my mind. See, God's ways not our ways, his thoughts are not our thoughts. But the Spirit put upon my heart to bring closure to the series we were doing. And then from this point, for the next 2 weeks, I will be off because I'm in getting ready for our conference, which is coming up the 30th and the 31st of December, which is an exciting thing for me because this will be my first civilian conference that I'm involved in. And I'll be a part of the group that actually heads it off. So I'm excited. Again, God is using me. No one could have told me that this would be what I'd be doing. No one could have told me. I had a whole different plan for myself. But God has saw fit that his plan would be greater than my plan, and I praise him for that. So for 2 weeks, I'll be off. I am going to try to come back the end of the month, around the 28th, to close out the month and go into the new year. And I'm looking forward to the new year of 2022 because I think God is going to do some great things for me, and he's going to do some great things for you. So we just got to stay pumped up, excited. As we used to say in our to the folks in the military, we used to say, you pump me up. Right now I'm going to say, Lord, you pump me up because I know that you got great things in store for us all. And that in itself is a blessing. Despite all the things that is going on in the world today, God has great things in store for us. We just have to do one thing. Have the faith the size of a mustard seed that we can move those mountains that come our way. Amen, amen. All right, today's quote is, knowledge will give you power, gives you respect. I'm a Bruce Lee fan, so these quotes were coming from him, a few of them. I love the way he processed things as he matured through his walk. He had a short life, but yet he made a major impact. And some of his wisdom, again, is just amazing to me. The more we value things, the less we value ourselves. This is true. I heard someone say Sunday that would a $1 million plus change our life. Yes, it would change our life, but it don't necessarily make our life better. Because sometimes we get so caught up in the things, we lose the value of ourselves. And we've seen that over and over and over again. Life is your teacher, and you are in the state of constant learning. You see, these experiences that we have on this journey, this walk, it constantly allows us, if we have ears to hear, if we have a heart to believe, we have a mind to receive, we begin to learn and mature and grow. And if we go, as I like to call it, deep sea diving for knowledge, we will be able to better understand what is being presented to us in God's word, life experiences, the education of life. It will provide for us all that we need, as long as we're willing to be consistent students in life. Hallelujah. Change is constant. Therefore, our thoughts and behaviors should be constantly aligned with the mind and heart of Christ as we are being transformed by the renewing of our mind. This was written by me, David Patterson. And the struggle you're in today is developing the strength you need tomorrow. That's powerful. The struggle you're in today is developing the strength you need tomorrow. I am a former bodybuilder, so I understand this concept from a weightlifting standpoint. And I kind of got it a little more to understanding when I used to follow Arnold Schwarzenegger. And he said everything he learned, he learned it from the principles of bodybuilding. Well, one thing has to happen. When you're bodybuilding, it's a struggle to push that weight initially. I've watched people come in the gym from all shapes, forms, sizes, and age groups, and I watch them come in, and they come in there, and they're pushing this little weight. Well, a little for me, they'd be pushing maybe 50 pounds, and I would smile and say, oh, yeah, they're going to get there if they stay consistent. And that's what we're talking about, continuity here. They stay consistent, and it's a struggle. You can see them trying to lift the weight, and they're struggling with the weight bar on the weight bench, and their arms are shaking and what have you. And then you see them 6 months later, and they're pumping out, if they're consistent, 200 pounds. What a big change. You see, that struggle that they're going through initially is preparing them for the strength they're going to need tomorrow. And I always like to use the example, and when someone needs you, see, most of the time you should not be doing things just for the sake of someone else, but you're developing yourself. So if an individual would call me and say, hey, Dave, I need you to be able to help me move this 300-pound refrigerator. I didn't know when I was training in the gym pushing three-something that these people would call me one day and say they need me to move that weight. But they get that call. But it's not that at the time I wasn't ready for that. Les Brown would say, it's better prepared for an opportunity not have one than have an opportunity not be prepared. I would take our opportunity and replace it with situation. So when the situation came up, I was already prepared to move that 300 pounds. That's what life's about. The struggles we go through right now will help us better prepare for the challenges and the strength we're going to need to be victorious. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The scripture tells us in Acts 4:31, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke words of God boldly. They became bold in their speaking about God. Hallelujah. And 16, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you a slave so that you live in fear again. Oh, no. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. We can call Father. We can call God our Father. Hallelujah. And in 2 Thessalonians 2:13, God chose you as first fruit to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. And remember, the truth will set you free. Hallelujah. There was something I was praying for, and I asked God, I just wanted to be free. I wanted to be set free from this. And I woke up this week, and I realized as I was praying, my prayers were answered. He set me free on some, and I just praise God for it. Hallelujah. And Titus 3:4-6, he saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewed by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior. See, we become new. We become stronger. We become these new creations, that the old things that held us down, held us back, prevented us from moving forward, no longer has the chain on us. We've been set free. We just have to embrace it. But let me tell you a story here. Lately, I've been running into these the animal stories, and I think they're very, very good. I really do. I think they're very good because they give us some insight if our imagination goes a little bit. So here it is. An elephant was walking towards his herd after taking a bath in a nearby river. On his way, the elephant sees a pig walking towards it. The pig, as usual, was coming after a relaxing dip in the muddy water. It was covered in mud. Upon approaching closer, the pig sees the elephant moving out of his way, allowing the pig to pass. While walking past, the pig makes fun of the elephant, accusing the elephant of being afraid of it. Now, that's funny. The little pig and the big old elephant. This is when vanity really kicks in. It also tells us this, that the other pigs standing nearby, and they all laughed at the elephant. Upon seeing this, some elephant from the herd asked their friend in amazement, Were you really afraid of that pig? To which the elephant replied, no, I could have pushed the pig aside if I wanted to, but the pig was muddy, and the mud would have splashed on me too. I wanted to avoid that, hence I stepped aside. You see, the moral of the story is, the mud-covered pig is the story of a metaphor for negative energy. When you are interacting with negative energy, you allow your space to be infiltrated by that same energy as well. The involved way is to let go of such petty distractions and focus on all your energy on things that matter. In other words, we push this aside. And even though the elephant must have felt angry, see, that's the part. Sometimes things come in your path, people come in your path, can may ignite emotions and feelings that are negative. He may have felt angry, but he did not allow the anger to evoke an automatic emotional reaction. An emotional reaction. The prisons are filled with people who had emotional reactions. As we look at the young man and now the family, the parents as well, now they have got themselves in a situation because of an emotional reaction. Basically, out of the center thing, what we talk about with the elephant, fear. The mother would give the child a weapon. What do you give a child a weapon for? It's not just for play. It's for protection. But sometimes there's a distorted ideal about what is good protection. So now this emotional reaction has caused their whole lives and many other people's lives to be changed. So we have to be careful. See, the elephant is wise like this. Instead, it responded after careful examination of the situation, and that response was to let the pig go. Let the distraction go. Let the negativity go. Once you reach a higher level of spiritual mature or more self-awareness, let a man examine himself, you'll begin to no longer be distracted by petty things. See, you know, through the course of time, and I noticed from my own living, that too many times when I was growing up, people presented negativity to me. They presented thousands of thoughts that was negative, and I was supposed to hear to them. And in the early years, some of them I did. Because, again, I need not to be laughed at by my herd or my fellow elephants, if you will. I need not to be less of a man to impress the females. I need to be able to show them that I'm mauricio, I'm macho, I'm dominant. See, but at the end of the day, those were negative distractions that produced negative results. But the elephant understood that. See, he didn't want to get muddy. He just cleaned himself up. So he let the petty things go. But it's so hard for people to let the petty things go. In my chaplain's group, we were talking about people's fears. And one of the individuals talked about the fear of not being able to let people control them. They don't want to be controlled. Or the other one's talking about having to be a people, being approved by people and not being disapproved. See, we get caught up in all these things, but once we mature spiritually, we're like that elephant. Now I'm going to keep it moving. I'm just going to keep on moving. I don't even have to entertain this pig that is filthy. You see, so this is what spiritual maturity is all about. We are no longer automatically reacting to external stimuli. We have a deeper understanding of what serves us and what not to do. In other words, as I always like to say, we won't allow external factors to control our internal stability. See, the Holy Spirit gives us that element of control. This is what the fruits of the Spirit talk about. When you got the foundation of love, you end up at the back end of it with self-control. So instead of we must strive to become better at diverting all our attention to things that matter and simply discard things that are of less importance. Hallelujah. So let us go right into our show. We're going to bring a closure to this three-part series. Great is he that is in you than he is in the world. In the last few weeks, we have centered our attention on the greater one that lives inside of us, which derived from the scripture of 1 John 4:4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. We got to see how important the Holy Spirit was to Jesus, that he deemed it relevant to share with his disciples from John 14, 16, and 17 what he was going to do, whom he was going to approach, about the power he wanted his disciples to eventually have as well as us. He said that I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper who will stay with you forever. He is the Spirit. He remains with you and is in you. Jesus was not just giving us a helper, but a deity who is the Trinity of the Godhead. Hallelujah. Remember, just before Jesus ascended to heaven, he gave his last instructions to the disciples out of Luke 24:49. And I myself will send upon you what my Father has promised, but you must wait until the power from above comes down upon you. Then he left the instructions and the promise that one must wait, and what are we waiting for is the power that will come upon us as the dove that he talked about that came upon Jesus through the Holy, as the Holy Spirit. See, out of Matthew 3:16-17, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. He went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him, and a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, who I love, and I am well pleased." You see, out of Isaiah 40:31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run, but not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This is so significant that we let patience have its perfect work. We understand also that patience is the first word that when Paul wrote out of Corinthians, he said, love is patience. See, once we recognize the power of being patient, God can really begin to use us, because we're not so quick to move on our plan like I was this morning. And yet my spiritual leader said, okay, won't you do this? And because I had ears to hear, it allowed me to let the Holy Spirit move forward into completion of our series. So he that wait on the Lord shall renew his strength. We have to recognize God will use different people and different resources for us to truly develop in the strength that the Holy Spirit has imparted upon us. Hallelujah. And just there, just like Jesus, when he received the Holy Spirit, it will endow us with different kinds of gifts by the same Spirit that gifted Jesus to do the different kinds of services. If you recall, out of 1 Corinthians 12:1-11, it said, now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. I do not want you to be uninformed. I do not want you to be uninformed. Knowledge is power, but it's only power when we execute it. Otherwise, it's just potential. But we need to be informed about the power we're going to receive. You know that when you were a pagan, somehow or another, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus, be cursed. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of servants, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one of the manifestations of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit of a message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another miraculous power, to another prophecy, to another distinguish between the spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit that he distributed to each one just as he determined. You see, all this is taking place for us to be transformed into the image bearer of Christ through the mind and heart changing each and every day. This should be an ongoing, let's talk about continuity. This should be an ongoing process for us, which we will begin to develop more spiritually, mentally, to truly be the warriors of Christ. We want continuity. You know, Paul said, I strive towards the mark of perfection. I strive. If you're running a marathon, you know, you will learn to pace yourself. And you're striving to get to the prize, to cross the finish line. This is what we're trying to do. So we must recognize that when we see these gifts, we begin to share the message of wisdom. We begin to share the message of knowledge. We begin to share the message of faith. We begin to share the healing power. We begin to share the miraculous power that comes from the Holy Spirit. We begin to share the prophecies. We begin to distinguish between the various spirits. We begin to speak of the different kinds of tongues and that power that God would give us or allow us, hallelujah, through the Holy Spirit, the interpretation of tongues. However, in order to effectively utilize these gifts, we need to follow the word out of 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Hallelujah. You see, when we become born again, we are like children having to learn all over again. Because like a person who was in a bad accident who lost the ability to walk, they must be trained to walk a new way. This is a likened to us when we are being transformed in our mind and our heart and developing to become more like Christ. As spiritual youngsters, we need a better understanding of the spiritual process of development that allows us to accept the spiritual values and promises that God stated we will be a part of, we will be given, and we need. You see, we must realize that we are children of God's creative plan. We are children who are gifts from God to our families. We are children who need nurturing and guidance. We are children who need discipline. We are children who need protection. We are children who are blessed by God. And then we spoke about also these few things we need in order to operate in the power of the greater one that lives inside of us. We need to eliminate distractions from our immediate area or environment. Well, we learned about how to avoid those distractions through that cute little story with the elephant and the pig. There's no need of us allowing Satan to distract us, misguide us, mislead us. See, that is his mission, to kill, steal, and destroy. If he can do this, he can get us off our square. But we understand in that same scripture that even though he may attempt to do this, God came to give us life and give us life more abundantly. That abundance means we're moving forward. We don't get distracted. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As we said earlier through the prayer, we don't want the cares of life to choke out the direction that God wants us to go. Therefore, we need to be able to also clear our heart and mind. See, the scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians 3:16-17, do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's spirit dwells in you? And if anyone destroy God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy and you are his temple. We need to make sure that we try our very best. Not within our might, but through the Holy Spirit, because this is what it's about, the greater one inside of us, to try to be as close to God's, to be as close to being the kind of temple that the Holy Spirit would want to dwell in. And oh, I know that sometime in this flesh, it wages war against the spirit. And Paul talks about this, the thing he wants to do the most, he does the least. But yet we keep striving. That is the objective, keep striving. Because as we keep striving, we begin to start thriving. If we start thriving, we're getting momentum. If we get momentum, we don't have to look back. But sometimes it's very difficult to do this because we allow things to impede us. Therefore, it's important that we confess our wrongdoing. 1 John 1:9 tells us if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is why it's so important for us to be able to go to God and ask him for forgiveness so we can keep it moving. We don't need anything that's going to impede us from being able to grow and become all that God intended us to be. Hallelujah. And then we must make sure that we worship the Holy Spirit by offering praise, because the Holy Spirit is a part of the Godhead who is just as holy as the God and the Father and the Son. He is also referred to as in personal terms, one as the holy person, the spiritual deity, and the one who is worthy of worship. Hallelujah. So we must take that in consideration. You see, John 15:26, when the advocate comes, who I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, yes. And then in Psalm 18:3, God is great and greatly to be praised. We are commanded to worship God. Therefore, if we look at the Holy Spirit in the same way, he is worthy to pray because he's a part of the God here. He's a part of the Trinity, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So this week, as we close this series out, I want to give you a few ways the Holy Spirit will work in our lives as believers. The first is the Holy Spirit is our helper who teaches and remains with us. In John 14:26, the Holy Spirit whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring these to your remembrance. all that I have said unto you. This is significant because as we study the word and we allow the word to get into our heart and reside in our heart, in those times that we need to be able to communicate with others about what God has done for us through our testimony and sharing, the Holy Spirit will bring those things that we need from the scriptures as well as from our experiences to tie those things in so people can identify and relate. And if they identify and relate, trust begins to flow in. If trust begins to flow in, their ears are open. And when their ears are open, they are ready to let that knowledge, wisdom, and understanding flow through those floodgates in order that they may be able to begin to take the first step in accepting Christ. And if they have accepted Christ, they begin to take the next step to grow in Christ. This is what it's about. It's about us growing. It's about us maturing. Hallelujah. Now, if I mess this word up, bear with me. The Greek word parakletos is the passage in translation meaning helper, an advocate, a counselor. This means the meaning of this word relates to legal counsel. The Holy Spirit provides wise counsel to Christ's followers. Jesus knew he would be going away and that his followers would need the Holy Spirit as a helper, an advocate to remind them of his teaching. We need the Holy Spirit to remind us of the teaching of God in order for us to be able to move forward, to be victorious in this walk. This is a challenge, as I always say in past series, is that the easy part, seemingly, is to just accept Christ and let him come into your heart. But however, we have to count the cost. A man cannot go and begin to build a house without counting the cost of whether he'll be able to complete it or not. So we do have to examine ourselves. But again, this is once you accept Christ as your personal Lord and Savior and the Holy Spirit comes upon you, he will begin to teach you. Just like when you go to school and you go to kindergarten and you go in, they begin to give you the simple things to begin to take you into the complex things. But once you get the foundation, the simple things are connected to the complex thing. And next thing you know, it becomes simple again. Hallelujah. Then the Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin. In addition to providing wise counsel, attorneys also provide evidence used to convict criminals. In a similar fashion, the Holy Spirit will prove the sin, the righteousness, and judgment of the world. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. This is out of, again, John 16:7-8. See, once Christ left and he left us the Holy Spirit, he would better give us insight to the nature of sin, even our personal sin nature. But then once he does, since there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus, we begin to grow and mature. We don't have to live in that fear. In that conversation that I was speaking on with the chaplain and my peers, one of the gentlemen said that he felt that he was damned because of the fact that every now and then he would say he falls short. And he was wondering if he falls short, would he be condemned to hell in the moment if Christ came or he died? Would he be condemned to hell? Well, see, again, in Christ there is no fear about death. Because once we accept him as our personal Lord and Savior, God knows our heart. And when we receive him into our heart, we can begin to let that concern of, if you will, of damnation go. But we strive. And one of the main things I'm learning myself personally about the nature of sin is that God did not necessarily want us not to have pleasurable things and entertainment and all these things, but he understood the bigger picture. See, he understand way down the road, because he knows the end as well as the beginning, he understand way down the road the detriments that may come from the nature of sin. So he wants us to strive every day to walk in the light and not in the darkness. But this takes time, and this is why the Holy Spirit is so important, because again, he will bring all those things I remember, giving us a little more strength to be able to walk away from our sin nature and grow closer to our spiritual nature. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit dwells in believers and fills them. The Holy Spirit is God's presence in the lives of believers. 1 Corinthians 3:16 say, do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? Hallelujah. Next, the Holy Spirit is a source of revelation, wisdom, and power. Revelation, hallelujah. These are the things God has revealed to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deeper things of God. For who knows a person's thought except for their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. This is out of 1 Corinthians 2:10-11. See, as we come closer to God through the Holy Spirit, we begin to understand the heart and mind of Christ. The scripture tells us that God will give us long life and we will know His salvation. See, we begin to understand the power that God has given us. And this is what I'm learning every day. And again, I'm a student, I'm a disciple, I'm a follower, and I'm a leader. And every day I stay in student mode because I want to keep growing, I want to keep maturing. Oh, I will admit to you, I fall many times, but at the end of the day, I get back up. And as I always like to quote Les Brown, say, if you're laying flat on your back, if you can look up, you can get up. See, I can look up because God is going to raise me up so I can get up and keep it moving. So this is the benefit of having the knowledge, wisdom, and understanding and the power that the Holy Spirit gives us to be able to move forward in the victory that we would like to walk in. God gives His Father the Holy Spirit so that we may know Him better. Since the Holy Spirit is God's Spirit, it knows the thoughts of God and reveals those thoughts to believers. The Holy Spirit opens believers' eyes to see the hope of salvation and the inheritance they have in Christ. This is some good stuff here. Jesus knew that His disciples would need the power to carry out these missions to be witnesses to the entire world. Oh, you're getting ready to have some challenges. When you go to witnessing the people, then people don't even want you to pray at the table. But see, the Holy Spirit is cool. He is cool. He's at Denzel. Yeah, I know. I understand. He don't have to ruffle nothing up. He don't have to trip out. He will give us the ability to know how to handle ourselves in any given situation. And then all of a sudden you look up, people say, man, why are you so cool? Why you didn't get roughed up? Why you didn't get all excited? Why you didn't react? Because you have the Holy Spirit that gives you the self-control to be able to deal with world challenges as they come. You know, many times I'm on calls and people are telling me, because I don't watch the news, so basically, it's kind of cute, I don't even have to watch the news because people are going to give me the report. They're walking, roaming reporters all over the place because they want to tell me about the news. As if we'd call it when I was going to a broadcasting school, they call it man on the street. There's man on the street or woman on the street every day that's going to tell me the news. I got a great imagination, so if you tell me, man, I can make a whole film out of it in my head. But see, I don't react to it. Because I understand there's a bigger enemy out there. See, I don't get caught up and say, well, you know, you got to pray for you, you know, pray that the enemy don't do this, and pray that the enemy don't. See, the people in my industry, I don't wrestle against flesh and blood anymore. I wrestle against the powers and principalities in high, dark places. I don't even have to wrestle, truthfully. The Holy Spirit going to handle that. Going to handle that. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you. So it gives us a whole different way of looking at it. My lens have been changed. You remember, for some people, they recall the Kodak Instamatic camera. They had a little bitty lens. But when you get the power of the lens that God gives us, it's that super powerful lens. It's that like telescope lens. You can see the stars. You see way ahead down the road. This is what we need to recognize through the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Yes. Then Jesus told His disciples, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Acts 1:8. See, we have to understand the power of what the Holy Spirit has given us as believers. Once we recognize this power, and here's the thing, as I was telling someone the other day, there has to be a willingness and an acceptance to be able to execute this power. See, many times we like to say things in our head, and we say, oh, I'm cool with that. Yeah, that's okay. But when the real challenge comes, because it's coming, when the real talents come, are we going to go and rely on God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit? Are we going to turn to God to use the strength and ability through the word that He gives us, the armor that He gives us, to be able to take on the battle? I love watching war movies in the sense of the old wars with the Roman days and the knights and the Vikings. And see, being a soldier as long as I have been. There is a different type of format here, but I was always fascinated at the boldness that these men had, especially King Arthur and his knights from the Round Table. They would get out there and they would go head up, and the first thing they have in their head is their sword, and they got their shield, and they're doing their things, and when the flaming darts would come, and they come from the sky, they would go in formation and unite tightly, because again, iron sharpened iron, they come together tightly, and when the spores would come and hit the shield, boom, it bounced right off, and they stand up and they're ready to go forward. That's the power of the Holy Spirit with God's armor. That's exciting to me. That's exciting to me. So even now when I watch these movies, I got a whole different visual. I got a different visual of what boldness looks like. I got a different visual about uniformity. I got a different vision about team. I got a different vision about leadership. I got a different vision about what one individual can do when he has the willingness to want to do this in Christ. Hallelujah. You see, Christians have access to power, revelation, and wisdom from the Holy Spirit, just as Paul wrote to his believers in Ephesus. I keep asking that God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope of which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. The power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand of the heavenly realm. Hallelujah. Ephesians 1:17-20. Praise God. Hallelujah. Then the Holy Spirit guides to all truth, including knowledge of what is to come. Woo. Ooh, man, this is it. Ooh, man, I'm telling you, this God's word is just too much. I mean, we've been missing out. You see, the Holy Spirit tells us what yet to come. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth in John 16:13, because he guides believers into all truth. Jesus told his disciples the Holy Spirit would make known what he hears and would only speak what his Father speaks. Can you imagine that? We have the same Spirit dwelling in us, but when he, the Spirit truth, come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of his own. He will speak only what he heard. He will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I say the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. John 16:13-15. I mean, this is amazing stuff. God is working through the Holy Spirit what is needed for us to know from God. Hallelujah. So we can be victorious. Yes, hallelujah. Then the Holy Spirit gives a spiritual gift to believers. Attributes of the Holy Spirit, such as wisdom, knowledge, and power, are manifested in the lives of believers for the good of others. Hallelujah. More gifts that he wants us to have is beyond our comprehension. Like I said, there's 70 things that the Holy Spirit do, but I just don't have time to share all of them with you. I mean, it's just amazing, and it's more. The more I dig, the more I study, the deeper I get into the sea of God's word, oh man, it's just too many pearls that I can collect up. And like I say, I can be rich in the power of the Holy Spirit, and I know you can too. We just have to do our due diligence. And then the Holy Spirit is the seal in the lives of us as believers. In the ancient world, a seal was a legal signature attesting the ownership and validating what was sealed. The Holy Spirit is our mark of adoption as God's children. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to his followers so that they could be confident in their salvation. And just as we make a deposit or a down payment on a new car to make sure the sale person doesn't sell it to anyone else, the Holy Spirit is a down payment deposit in our lives, confirming the validity of Christ's message that we belong to Christ. And we also are included in Christ when we heard the message of truth, the gospel of his salvation. When we believe, we are marked and sealed the promise of the Holy Spirit, who is the deposit guarantor of our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Ephesians 1:13. Hallelujah. Then next, the Holy Spirit helps us in our Christian weakness and intercedes for us. We have all times when we feel weak and don't know what to do. The Holy Spirit, however, helps us line up with God's will during those times by interceding for us. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans, and he who search our heart knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance the will of God. Romans 8:26-27. If we take a pause for the cause, and if anybody go back and rewind this and listen to this here is mind-blowing. The more I entertain it, and when the Holy Spirit gives me these things, and as I research and I dig for information so I can get that knowledge and wisdom and understanding, and then it begins to illuminate itself, he's gone to the glory now, but I had a former brother-in-law, and man, when the Spirit hit him, he would run around this huge church, and this church was huge. He would run around this huge church because he couldn't contain it. He just had to let it go. Right now in my place, I want to just run around. But if I run around, you hear me huffing and puffing. So I'm going to stand down. Hallelujah. But this is, whew, I'm pumped up. The Holy Spirit makes believers new and gives them eternal life. You see, the Holy Spirit works in our lives of believers to renew, sanctify, and make us holy. Just as the Holy Spirit raised Christ from the dead, the Holy Spirit will give us eternal life to believers in Christ. Hallelujah. But if Christ is in you, and then even though your body is subjected to death because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, who has raised Christ from the dead, will also give life to your mortal body because of his Spirit who lived in you. Romans 8:10-11. And last but not least, the Holy Spirit sanctifies and enables believers to bear good fruit in their lives. You see, the works of the Holy Spirit in Christian life is an ongoing process, as I always say, becoming holy through sanctification. Through the conviction of the power of the Holy Spirit, believers will not indulge in the sinful acts of the flesh, but will bear good fruit of the Spirit. My favorite part, because God is divine dresser, Jesus is divine, and the whole and we are the branches, and we bear this good fruit of love, joy, peace, goodness, gentleness, kindness, patience, faithfulness, and I like to add mercy, grace, and forgiveness, and self-control. If we exercise that, we exercise these fruit, the world will look like a different place. It will look like a different place. And as I always like to incorporate the 1 Corinthians 13 and Galatians, I like to combine them, because when we can begin to do what Paul had written throughout of 1 Corinthians, and then we combine it with what we know the Holy Spirit will allow us to do as we grow in the fruit, we can have a huge, beautiful vineyard, if you will, of nothing but the goodness and kindness and gentleness people should receive. We would be patient with one another. We create a joyful environment. We will create a peaceful environment. We will feel confident because we have people who are faithful. We will be able to really move forward and enjoy the fullness of God's word, because we will be able now to gain that self-control that will always allow us to display or show love. So in conclusion, the greatest one that Christ asked his Father to give us will provide us not gifts, knowledge, and wisdom, and understanding on how to use the power within us for the glory of God, to fulfill our assignment while we walk the earth, just like our Lord and Savior accomplished while he dwelt the earth. We just have to do and be willing with the mind and heart of Christ to be led by the Holy Spirit to be victorious in him. Again, I've heard it said that knowledge was power, and I like to say knowledge is potential power, but only because power, when ignited, the same is true with the Holy Spirit. He can only be potential power, but once we are willing to ignite the power within, we move from the impossible with man to do what is always possible with God. Greater is he that is in us than is in the world. And as always, in closing, I like to give the soldier's perspective. Greater power we possess. When we recognize that we possess a power beyond our comprehension in Christ, we begin to think, act, and say what the Word has been telling us to do all along. The only thing we need to is to have ears to hear, eyes to see, a heart to believe. And once we begin to allow that power that lives with us to be ignited, we truly become empowered as Jesus did. Therefore, if we are to possess anything that is worthy to truly have, it is the great power within. The Holy Spirit is in us to quicken our mortal body, make it alive for us to strive and thrive in Him, who will make us more than conquerors for Him who loves us. All we have to do is believe. As we go through the week, and again, I'll be done to skip, remember, greater is He that's in you that's in the world. Again, all we need is faith, the faith the size of a mustard seed. That begins to ignite everything. You see, I was listening to a gentleman talk the other day, and he was talking about the great big oak trees in California and Washington, Oregon, and different places like that. And he says, you know, it starts with this small seed. I think he even meant an acorn. But again, he talks about how big they become, how mighty they become, that the birds can rest upon it, kids can play in it, you can even build a treehouse in there. I mean, because it becomes strong and mighty. Somebody told me, don't put aside humble, don't disregard humble beginnings. So wherever we may be in our lives right now, let us recognize that who is in our life, who lives inside of us, the greater one. And He will empower us. He will guide us. He will direct us. He will correct us. He will teach us what we need to know to be victorious in Christ. But we can only benefit this through personal Lord and Savior, truly benefit. Because I always like to say, you know, I knew of God, but now I'm getting to know God. I'm getting to know God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the power of His Word, the uses of the whole armor, the power of bearing good fruit, the power of walking in love, the power of walking in forgiveness. You know, someone said to me, it's hard to forgive. I said, it's only hard because you're not willing. See, nobody told you you had to forget. If you're in a major car accident, you're not going to forget that car accident. But you can forgive if the person who caused the accident caused you harm. And there's been some real tragedies. I was in a lot of car accidents, but one, I got hit by the car. And it could have left me for blind, could have left me never would have heard a word from me because I bit my tongue off. But God saw fit for such a time as this to be able for me to be standing here today. But I didn't entertain the idea of being unforgiving. Matter of fact, the individual who hit me, they talk about that superpower. This man lifted the car, my mother told me, and pulled me out. I'm covered with oil and all blood and everything else. But God saw fit to see me here. And I never thought, entertained, never even gave a consideration to walking unforgiveness. And all of us have had things where it's seemingly that we should be unforgiving. But forgiveness is something we want to recognize. It's as significant as receiving the Holy Spirit. Because if we don't forgive, we impede our flow to God. And here's the kicker. See, God sent this Son because He came to forgive us. And if we want forgiveness from God, surely we should forgive others. We may not like the act. And that's the thing. God don't like the acts when they don't line up with His Word, but He surely loves the child. So we should begin to always walk in this forgiveness. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So again, let me pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank You that as we go forward and we take a pause for the cause, never away from You, Father God, but just from what we're doing here to prepare for greater things You have for us in the future. Not just myself, but for everyone else. I'm asking, Father God, that people will do the ABC. They will accept You, they will believe in You, and they will confess to You and accept Christ as their personal Lord and Savior in their lives. And begin their journey to walk, to get to know You, know Your salvation. Know that they can receive blessings beyond their comprehension. And maybe it may not be as the world called blessing because billionaire status, these things all tribute. They will rust and turn to dust and be left behind. The question came, I know, Father God, when they asked, how much did Frank Sinatra leave? And someone said he left it all. All this was left behind. But we want to look for what is in front of us. What we can look forward to is eternal. eternal light and the real riches and treasures that have true value that will never rust and mold is what we should be excited about. So I pray right again right now, Father God, for every human being that is on sound, under the sound of my voice and those who are not. I pray for the 8.7 billion people and growing, Father God, in the world that they receive you, those not yet born and those, that, Father, who are seasoned. I'm praying for every aspect of their life that in the name of Jesus, you know the details. You know their secrets. You know their needs. You know their wants. You know their desire. You know who they are. I'm asking, Father God, as they accept you as their personal Lord and Savior, Father God, they will experience a love from you. And Father, they will experience a joy from you. They will experience a peace from you that surpasses all human understanding. Lord, you are a wonderful God, an amazing God. Sometimes my mental comprehension is blown away by how you love us so. But I thank you. And as we go forward, Father God, I just thank you that every day we get a little closer to you, so you'll get a little closer to us. In Jesus' name, amen. But as always, there will be others who will be bringing you the knowledge and wisdom so you may get the understanding and discernment of God's word. So please, if you have questions, you want to join the team, you want to be a part of this, please come check out Kingdom Builder Development Institute. And you can email us at kingdombuilderplaza@gmail.com. You can contact us at the home office at 313-583-9739. You can sow into the ministry at www.givify.com, which is spelled givelify.com. And all these things that God is providing. Again, our conference is coming up in December, December the 30th and 31st, as you get ready to transition into the new year. I think it starts at 7 in the evening on the 31st, and if I got it correct, I think it starts somewhere around 10, but there'll be flyers and information given. I think it's a little bit. I'm not totally sure. We'll make sure we get that information in order that you may be able to join in and receive more of God's blessing through his word. His word will be life-changing. His word will be transforming. His word will be uplifting. His word will be encouraging. And his word will be the truth that sets you free. And as always, in party, you pray for me, I pray for you. Let's watch the amazing things through the power of the Holy Spirit, what it will do in our lives. God bless you. We'll see you soon. Have a wonderful week.
They need to know that through their life there is a purpose.